We pick up at the end of the second chapter of Joel, which may be the verses that you do know from the book of Joel. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. We may be more familiar with the psalmist's complaint, how long, O Lord, how long? How long are you going to let it go on like this? How long are you going to let those people do that thing? How long, O Lord? And in December of 2020, how long, O Lord? How long are we going to keep doing it this way? I think is a full-voiced, full-souled, full-hearted response to our world and our lives. I just don't want us to get stuck there, because this is Advent. And Advent is that time when we know we're supposed to be waiting, and we know we don't wait very well. And we're lighting candles, and they're reminding us of hope and peace and joy and love. And I think we really need those reminders this year. And Joel manages to slide those reminders in. We are often hard on ourselves and hard on our neighbors. We give up on ourselves. We give up on one another. We throw our hands in the air, we stomp out, we slam the door, we slide the little red phone over when they call, because we are just not going to deal with them right now. Or ever, perhaps. We ignore their text messages and their voicemails and whatever else they send us. And sometimes they do it to us too. We get fed up with one another. We get fed up with ourselves. And that's one of our very human challenges that Joel confronts head on. Imagine, if you will, that you're in Jerusalem. It's post the Babylonic exile. Jerusalem has shrunk from being a town of 25,000 to a town of 1,500. It probably doesn't have a gas station. It may not have a grocery store, probably doesn't have a drugstore, and there's probably not a practicing doctor or pharmacist anywhere. They're going to have to drive at least 30 miles to get to Walmart. It's kind of a disaster situation. There have been three waves of locusts, and daily bread is uncertain. All of this is seen to be because the people have been unfaithful to the covenant with God. And if we're honest, if we know them and we know us, there's lots of unfaithfulness to go around, so it's probably not too big a stretch. Joel doesn't sit here and just slam the people again and again and again. Joel gives them a word of hope and a word of possibility, a word of repentance. Yet even now, says the Lord, even now, even after you've done all those things, even after you've said all those words, even after you've ignored all my voicemails, says the Lord, return to me. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothes. Return to me, God says. This is, I think, one of those reminders that we as the people of God need more often than we get. We often get, do this or else. We're good at preaching it. We're good at parenting it. We're good at authority figuring it. But God is the ultimate authority figure. And God in Joel says, just come home. Just turn around. Just do it differently. Come home. Return to the Lord your God. For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Now, if you're thinking you've heard those phrases recently, you have. Those are the exact same words Jonah used in his temper tantrum in front of God in Nineveh. There's a difference this time, though, isn't there? Instead of Jonah yelling, God, I knew you were way too nice for those people to get what they deserved. For those people to get what I think they deserve, says Jonah. This time, those words are targeted at us, for us to remember that God is slow to anger, abiding in steadfast love, abounding, gracious, merciful, relenting from punishing. Those words are for us. They're for us about us. They're for us when we are not slow to anger, when we fly off the handle and lose our cool. They're for us when we are not gracious, when we are not merciful, when our love has a limited quantity, and when it comes and goes and is not steadfast, and when all we want is for people to get punished. These words are for us. Because how we are is not how our God is. And at Advent, as we await the birth of a child who is going to change everything, we need to remember that. We need to remember that we are not so far gone, and that our neighbor is not so far gone, and that our neighbor's neighbor is not so far gone, that God does not love them, that God's grace does not apply to them, and that God doesn't want them to come home. God doesn't want us to come home too. I think that's really important for us, because we're divided, we're fractured, we're an us and a them world right now, more than we ever have been. Is this promise just for the people who get it right? Think very carefully about how many of us get it right before you answer that question. Or is it for the people that God loves? There's a fundamental difference there. Do we have to get it right for God to love us? Or does God love us because God loves us? Joel is an important word for us. The chapter goes on. We only read those two verses at the beginning. We're only going to read two verses at the end. The chapter goes on and talks about repenting and getting right with God and a bunch of other things. And God's assumption is that the people of God, both then and now, are going to do that. Because when we get to verses 28 and 29, God is already addressing what's going to happen after we do that. Think about that for a moment. God has enough confidence, despite all of the evidence of our lives to the contrary, that we are going to get shaped up and fly right, as my mother would say. That we are going to repent, that we are going to turn from sin, turn from death, and turn to life. Despite us. I mean, think about your last week. You were perfect, right? You didn't fly off the handle at anybody. You didn't yell about things not being in stock. You were perfect. You didn't get frustrated with anybody or lose your temper, and you certainly did not call yourself an idiot or a nincompoop in that voice inside your head, right? Yes, we pastors do all that stuff too. God still wants us. And God is still convinced that after week after week after week after week of us doing that, that we are going to be able to get past it. That we are finally going to do it differently. And so verses 28 and 29 are when we're doing it differently, because this is not hurry up and wait for God to fix it. This is, hey, we have some stuff wrong with us. We should do some work. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Pouring has this great image to it that you have a gallon of milk and you have like a 6-ounce cup and you have a 4-year-old. And you have about 5 ounces of milk in the cup, and you have about 12 ounces of milk on the table, and slowly moving towards 2 ounces of milk dripping to the floor off the edge of the table, right? Pouring is a metaphor from a big container into a small container. So when God pours out God's Spirit upon us, it is coming from a big container into little containers. But there are lots of little containers. There's old men, there's young men, there's daughters, there's sons, there's male and female slaves. It's getting poured out all over the place. And what is going to happen as a result of that is not what happens on TV when a 4-year-old pours the milk. It is not a commercial for Bounty. What is going to happen is that the people are going to be reminded of God's presence, because they're going to hear prophecy and they're going to see visions and they are going to dream dreams. And all of that happens because God doesn't give up on us and we don't either. Perhaps the most powerful message of Joel for us this Advent season is to believe that God is not yet done with God's creation. And as we await the child who is coming, we know we still have work to do on ourselves, on our church, in our community, in our world. And that God is already ready with the next things. When we have done our piece, God is ready to help us do the next piece. We are not yet so far gone that God is willing to wash God's hands of us. And if you believe Joel, we never will be. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.